community connections. I'm Alan Collier, as I said to you before. Now, I do have a fascinating interview coming up. We're just having a few little technical problems. But I have with me Dr. Vincent, and Dr. Vincent has done a lot of research at the University of Newcastle, and he's discovered the how to extract phenolics from apples and then activate them into water. So I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to ask Dr. Vincent. First of all, we'll say hello. How are you, Doctor?
I'm really great. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
I'm very well too. Thank you. Thank you. First of all, let me just ask you, what got you interested in doing this research?
There's a little bit of a funny story around the beginning of my career as a researcher back in 2010. At that time, I just finished my bachelor degree at the University of Newcastle. And because, you know, I was born and I grew up in Indonesia, I came to Australia as an international student. And as an international student, it was actually really expensive to live and study in Australia. So I thought that to save up money, I would do my three-year degree in 2 years. So instead of finishing my bachelor degree in 3 years, I finished it in 2 years. And that, thank you, it came out of a necessity. It wasn't because I was a genius or really, really smart. I just, instead of taking four subjects, I took six subjects every semester.
Just back up one little thing. It's all right to say that it was born out of necessity and you weren't smart about it doing it. I mean, to be able to do six subjects when others only do three, yeah, I reckon pretty impressive in my book.
Thank you. But I honestly didn't think that, didn't intend on doing that because I wanted to, you know, be smart or showing off. It was literally because I wanted to save up money, because living costs in Australia is significantly much more expensive compared to back home in Indonesia. Yep. But that little thing that I did actually resulted in me having an extra year on my student visa. And I was approached by my lecturer at that time, who then became my supervisor, and he asked me if I wanted to work with apples from orange. And not being around here in New South Wales, I didn't know that orange was the name of a place. I thought that, wow.
You thought it was the actual orange.
I know. What are we going to do? Like, how do we work with apples from oranges? And I was like, this is interesting. I put my hand up and I said that, yes, I wanted to do that. And little did I know, orange, obviously, is the name of a place. And before I knew it, I actually had to go there, I think, in the beginning every fortnight. And I have to say that working with apple farmers in Orange was probably the very first time that I decided that I wanted to stay in Australia. I wanted to call Australia home, because the community is very welcoming to me. They taught me everything that one can know about farming, about the region, about the soil, and worked with me very, very closely in terms of, at that time, the aim of the research was to help Australian apple farmers to compete with significantly cheaper imported products, apple products from Asia, in this case China. Because at that time, to give you a comparison, it was actually cheaper to import juice concentrate from China and mix it in Australia with water than to process Australian apples into juice, even if the manufacturer actually got the apples for free. So we needed to... Yes, I know.
It's unbelievable, doesn't it?
When I first heard this, I didn't believe it, but it was actually the case. And in a lot of cases, it is still the case when it comes to processing apples in Australia. So I came up with an idea. If we can't compete with the price, we need to find out a way to communicate to customers that while you're paying higher prices for Australian apple products, you are actually getting more from Australian apples compared to imported apples. And lo and behold, I discovered that Australian apples, especially those that are grown in Orange, is actually much more superior when it comes to the phenolic antioxidants, because Orange is a elevated lamp, so it sits quite high in terms of the height, in terms of the distance from the sea level, and this gives Orange a geographical advantage when it comes to the contrast of temperature between day and night. During the day it's really, really hot, but during the night it's very cold. And this growing condition paired with the volcanic soil of Orange region contribute to the significantly higher production of phenolic antioxidants in the fruit. And this led me to my PhD research, because I wanted to continue working with Australian apple farmers from Orange. And we figured out, my team and I, we invented a technology that allow us to extract phenolic antioxidants from apples and virtually any plants without the use of chemical solvents. We only use water. And the problem with phenolic antioxidants is actually not the compounds themselves, because a scientific community, almost all of us, we are in agreement that phenolic antioxidants are very beneficial for humans' health. The issue before my technology came along was that there was no way to extract and activate phenolic antioxidants without the use of chemical solvents.
I've just got to take a quick break, and then
no worries,
and then we'll come back. I'll just
Radio's the only life.
welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 13 degrees still, and we're 22 minutes past one. Dr. Vincent, there's a couple of things I'd like to ask you first before we go on too much further. What, first of all, like, you were going to do, you're doing a PhD, but what made you decide to do it in something like this? Out of all the sort of subjects you could have done a PhD on, what excited you the most to get involved in this?
So my first degree was in food science and technology, as well as human nutrition. And that basically founded the foundation of my PhD degree in terms of food analysis in chemistry and engineering and stuff like that. But initially, the reason why I was interested in the field of food and nutrition was because my mom was a pastry chef, and I have been helping my mom since as far as I can remember, actually, from very young age in the kitchen, in terms of preparing the dough, pastry, beating egg whites and stuff like that. And I remember always asking my mom in terms of how did it, what made a egg white, for example, transformed and changed into foam, into meringue? How do you explain? How do you explain the work of yeast in terms of rising the bread dough and stuff like that? And I remember being very, very curious. And my mom actually tried to explain it to me, including the science as far as she could, in terms of making sure that I understand when you put sugar and yeast together, it then initiates a process called fermentation process that produce the carbon dioxide to help the bread dough to rise. So from the very, very young age, I have a particular interest in terms of food, but not from the culinary perspective. Although I love cooking and baking, I was much more interested in the science behind it and how the food that we eat, the anything that we put into our body can impact and influence our health.
So what then made you decide that apples were the way to go? Or was it just that you were, somebody put you in that idea?
Somebody put it in front of me, and obviously I already said yes, because I thought that we were going to win a Nobel Prize changing and transforming oranges into apples. But what made me so interested was because an apple a day keeps the doctor away. This yep. saying has existed in our culture, and actually it's not only in the Western culture but also in the Eastern culture. And there isn't a lot, as far as I know, I don't think there is another saying that coexists in both Eastern and Western culture and being passed through generations.
So it is true.
There is some truth to it, and it's just that generations before us, while they observe people who included apples in their diet tend to be healthier, they couldn't explain it. Now, with science, we could, and we could actually pinpoint the responsible and contributing compounds in apples that help our body to be healthy.
So apples, would you say, are one of the healthiest that we could eat, or?
I would say if you have to choose just one fruit, yep. and by no means you should, but if you yep. have to, yes, apples are the way to go.
All right, so am I right that it took over 80 years, like scientists have been working on looking at why apples were so successful for 80 years, is that right?
That's correct. So, and the biggest research center that look into apple and apple phenolics and the benefits to humans' health is actually in Cornell University in the U.S. Just this random young scientist in Orimba campus at the University of Newcastle beat them to it, and the university actually helped me to patent my technology. So, you were absolutely right when you said that this research and interest in apple phenolics have been around from 80 years ago. And before the break, I mentioned that there is no major disagreement when it comes to the health benefit health benefits of apophenolics to human health. The disagreement or the argument was the extraction and activation process, because unless these phenolic antioxidants can be delivered into our body and our body can absorb and utilize it, it means nothing. And before my technology came along, the only two ways to create and deliver these phenolic antioxidants into our body were synthesizing in the lab or extracting it using chemical solvent. The issue with chemical extraction is that when you introduce something that had been extracted chemically and introducing it to our biological system, our body doesn't possess any of these chemical solvents. So how do you then expect our body to unpack this extract and absorb and utilize it? And that's the reason for a very, very long time, while antioxidant has been the buzzword in health and wellness and beauty, antioxidants were only limited to be marketed as a beauty product or as a vanity compound rather than a health compound.
Not a health compound. When you're doing it chemically, you're basically taking out, like you're taking out something that's good for you, but when you start putting chemicals into it, they almost would cancel each other out, wouldn't they?
Yes, in a sense, yes. And also, it's like lock and key. If you're trying to unlock something using a key that the next person doesn't possess, then when you give that thing to the other person, the other person doesn't have the ability to unpack it. And not only it's canceling each, they're canceling each other. When antioxidant is in our system but not being able to be absorbed and utilized by our system, it actually can create issues, health issues. And that's the reason why EFSA, European Food Science Authority, actually published a population study that look into the effect of antioxidant supplements that are chemically or chemically synthesized or extracted, and they found that people who have been consuming supplements that are chemically extracted or created, antioxidant supplements, they actually have an increased risk in terms of developing cancer cells, and that is because when antioxidants are in our body and not being absorbed and used, it turned into pro-oxidant. So instead of stopping oxidation and inflammation, it actually causes inflammation and oxidation. And this is why antioxidants research field is very, very interesting. And I have to say that I am very, very proud to be one of the pioneers in this field, because my research changed the way that researchers all over the world look at antioxidants.
Terrific. I've got to take a quick break. I would like to pursue that further.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. Her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
She's by my excitations. Good, good.
welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be talking to Dr. Vincent. Doctor, I just want to ask you two quick questions, if I can. I'm going to ask them to you together. First of all, how long did it take you to get to this breakthrough? And secondly, how did you feel? Was it a very slow process, or all of a sudden, one day you said, I've cracked this?
I can say this because I think I've said it somewhere else, and I think it's a public knowledge. And I think the statute of limitation had passed because you were not allowed to sleep in the lab. So technically what I did was trespassing, because once the university is closed. But I checked, the statute of limitation was 6 months, and this was in 2011 and 2012. So I can say this without getting into problem. Well past that. So the reason why I had to do that, Alan, was because I have always considered myself very studious and a very hardworking student. However, when I started my PhD, that was, and I was teaching too at that time, that was actually the first time that I got properly paid in terms of my salary and everything. And I think I was, how old was I? Maybe I was like 21 or 22. So the very first time feeling that, you know, you get like a proper adult paycheck. And I basically, because I was a primary investigator in the research team, so I basically managed and arranged my own hours. And being given such a big responsibility, obviously the first 8 months I was not doing anything at all. I was very busy enjoying life, being away from my parents, nobody telling me what to do. So, when you're doing PhD, a PhD degree in Australia, at the end of your first year, you had to go through a process called confirmation process, where the faculty members basically assess your work and judge whether or not this is worth pursuing in terms
to make
of
sure you're not sort of wasting money.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly right. So being given literally 4 months or 6 months to make sure that the funding to my research continued, I actually had to pull all of these extra hours, basically fitting 12 months of work into 4 to 6 months time. So what I did was I was doing a lot of overnight experiments in the lab. And there was one time when I woke up after doing a series of experiments in the lab, and I found the readings, the measurement of these antioxidants completely off the chart. And I took it to my supervisor, and my supervisor said that the difference between playing and experimenting is that when you are experimenting in the lab, you need to be able to reproduce the results. So I try my best to basically replicate whatever that I did the night before, and voila, in 2012, that was the earliest form of this technology that I invented. And to be honest with you, it wasn't like, you know, celebratory or anything. It was basically just being relieved because I presented that at my confirmation presentation, a confirmation hearing and presentation, and they gave me another 2 years of funding, which then allowed me to fine-tune and perfect the technology and achieve my PhD, which is, at that time, I got my PhD before I turned 25, and I felt that moment was actually very very important to me, because I feel that because my research was fully funded by Australian government as well as the Horticulture Australia. I felt that as an outsider at that time, I'm Australian now, I felt that this country who owed me nothing invested in me, believed in me, and I felt a tremendous amount of accountability and responsibility to give back to the country that believes so much in me.
Oh, that's
so yeah,
terrific.
it was a very important point in my life, I have to say.
Terrific. I'm just going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more.
Right now, yes, I need you, and how I can't live without your love.
of course, that was a great Johnny O'Keefe and Right Now. And just a reminder, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and more. We'll be playing all the hits from the 50s and 60s. And then I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8. So if you're having a Father's Day celebration or whatever you're doing, make sure, if, particularly if Grandpa's involved, you'd probably like to hear the 50s and 60s music. So we'll rock along for 5 hours between 12 and 3 and then again between 6 and 8. But I'm talking to Dr. Vincent. Doctor, we've talked about getting this phenolic acid, is it, or whatever, or toxins?
Antioxidant, yes.
Yeah, antioxidant. Yeah, that's right. I can't read my own writing. So what effect does that have on the body? Like, you've now worked out how you can get it out, but what does it do for a person taking this?
So phenolic antioxidants, at their very core, no pun intended.
yeah, I missed that.
actually helps to... They work in two ways. First one, they protect our cells from being oxidized by free radicals. So free radicals are basically pollutants or toxin that tries to destabilize our cellular functions. And secondly, phenolic antioxidants also help to fight inflammations in our body, especially at the cellular level. So people...
At what level? You're talking to people here that don't quite know what you're talking about. Yep.
At the cellular level, so in our cells and tissues of our bodies.
Oh, yep. Yep.
The issue with inflammation is that while it is probably the root cause of majority of diseases and illnesses, a lot of us don't really know about it. We know and understand about infection. We know and understand about, you know, genetic predisposition for people to develop certain diseases. But inflammation actually is the root cause of a lot of issues, such as arthritic condition, heart problem, high blood pressure. What happens is that when our cells and tissues are being put under conditions that they are inflamed, over time it can lose its function. Over time, all of these cells can mutate into cancerous cells, and that's the reason why managing inflammation rate in our body is very important, because when we look after our cells, our body, because our body is made up of trillions and trillions of cells, our body will also be healthy. And that's the reason why before my technology came along, antioxidants were being marketed mostly for beauty, for anti-aging, because they didn't have a way to get this good stuff into our cells, into the cells of our body.
Can I just ask you, like, obviously, this is world-breaking. Have other countries taken up, like, the research and agreeing with you, or the other countries just sort of left Australia to it by themselves?
I think, well, the concept of a PhD itself, because it is internationally peer-reviewed, and we have scientific publication on this too, so... It is, in its sense, an international recognizable technology and breakthrough. And together with the patent itself, we're patenting in Australia as well as in the US and some other countries. So it is, the technology itself is internationally recognized. And
you must be very proud. You must be very proud.
I am very proud, because in what I do, not a lot of scientists can say that what they're working on actually help change people's life. And I really do believe that for science to work, it has to be in the form that can actually improve and transform people's life. It's one thing to have to complete a PhD, write a thesis, and your thesis stay living in library collecting dust, and quite another to actually have something that is in action. Because at its very core, if you ask 100 scientists, all 100 of them will say the reason why they became a scientist is to help change life, to make this world a better place.
Sounds
so
good.
I'm very, very lucky that I'm on a path that I could see my research at literally in action helping people.
I would never ask this question because in Australia we're all Australians, but you raised the subject. You said that Australia owed you nothing. So am I guessing that you've come from another country or you were born in Australia? So where did you come from and at what age?
I was born in Indonesia, and I grew up there until I moved to Australia in 2008. So I was 18 turning 19 when I came here first as an international student. And I am very proud of my heritage. I'm very proud of being born in Indonesia and grew up there. But I also knew the moment when I felt that Australia is home. And when I said that Australia owed me nothing, I meant that in the best way possible, because there were so many other people and other students who probably more deserving than me in terms of being given this research grant. But I happened to be there at the right time, and it turned out to be, I mean, it paid off. I am very, very proud that I still work very closely with Australian apple farmers. We make a pledge to ourselves that we'll always use Australian-grown apples because this is my way of giving back.
Yeah, I normally wouldn't raise that. It was only that you raised it yourself and said that Australia owed you nothing. So it made me... So I just want to digress just for 1 second, then I've got to take a break.
Yes.
You said your mum was a chef. Was she a chef at home or was she a chef sort of in industry? And also, was that in Indonesia or over here in Australia?
It was in Indonesia. So my dad has his own business, and my mom, while she was baking at home, she actually sold all these pastries and baked goods. So she was an entrepreneur herself. And I guess without even knowing it, I never studied business. I am now an entrepreneur and a business owner. I never studied business or marketing or anything. But without realizing it, I mean, if I look back into my, like, you know, growing age, like childhood and all the formative years, I guess that I probably learned a lot from the entrepreneurial spirit from my parents.
Yeah, sounds great. Just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Was a night, ooh, what a night it was, it really was such a night. The moon was bright, oh how bright it really was such a night. The night was alive with stars above. Ooh, when she kissed me, I had to fall in love. It was a kiss. Ooh, what a kiss it was. It really was such a kiss. Oh, how she could kiss. Oh, what a kiss it was. It really was such a kiss. Just the thought of her lips sets me afire. I reminisce and I'm filled with desire. Such a night. Came the dawn, and my heart in her love, and the night was gone. But I'll never forget the kiss in the moonlight. Ooh, such a kiss, such a night. It was a night. Ooh, what a night it was, it really was such a night. Came the dawn, and my heart in her love, and the night was gone. I had to fall in love. Well, she's gone, gone, gone. Yes, she's gone, gone, gone. Came the dawn, dawn, dawn.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. We're at 7 minutes to two and 13 degrees. Doctor, I've got to ask you, because I can see what you look like. You're still a very young man. What is the challenge for a person like yourself? Like, is there any other fruit that you want to look at, or I mean, is that the end of your research, or what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Because you've still got a long way to go.
Thank you. The research continues because the substance, the compounds were invented in 2012, and there is so many things that we can still learn and in terms of application and how it can improve health further in many, many aspects of life. But what lies ahead?
Hello, you've disappeared. Vincent's actually left the building at the moment. Unfortunately, we'll just wait for him to come back. He's come back. You were just saying what happens next.
What lies ahead is basically the entire company. My company is named Renovatio. I know it sounds a little bit weird, but Renovatio in Latin language means new life, and that was because I made a promise to my grandma. In 2012, I went back to Indonesia and I saw my grandma was basically wheelchair bound, and she used to be a ballroom dancer. Yep. And she was suffering from really bad knees, and she was too afraid to go through the replacement surgery. So what did I said to my grandma? I said that, look, I'm working on this substance that works to fight inflammation. Would you like to try it? And she said yes. I sent home some powders in plastic bags. I literally shouldn't be doing it now, but yeah. I did that. She took it, and in May 2012, she and my grandpa came to visit me and my sister in Sydney. True. And she was walking from Haymarket to Sydney Opera House, which was five six kilometers. And she told me that in my culture, when you finish your study and get your first real job, you're supposed to give money or present or take your parents or grandparents out for like a really nice meal. But my grandma at that time, I remember this vividly, she told me that, Vincent, you never have to give anything ever again to me, because you have given me the greatest gift, which is you have given me my life back. And I remember that I used it as a foundation of our company, because it was really hard for me to make the jump from a scientist into an entrepreneur, because in a lot of sense, I felt that I sold out in terms of, you know, you're making money off of research. However, if I didn't do that, I couldn't help more people. Yeah. And the only thing that I did to make sure that I never lose sight of this vision is that to make sure that in every product, in everything that I do in the company, I always remember it. And that's why the name of the company is Renovatio, which is to give people new life.
Is there any other fruit that you would like to do research into, or is it just confining to apples?
No, the research can be applied to basically every plant.
No, but I'm talking about you. Is there any other...
About me?
Yeah.
Not currently, because even with apples, different types of the variety of apples have different components and composition of phenol and antioxidants. But if I have a free time and I have all the research going in the world, probably grapes, because I am a fan of wine. I wouldn't call myself a wine expert, but I'm enthusiastic about wine, so I'm a wine enthusiast. And I really do think that if you can make wine healthier, not that I need any reason to drink wine,
yep,
but if you can make wine even healthier than it is now, I think that is a win-win solution for everyone.
Do you think grapes and some of those other fruits do have the same health benefits as apples? Or when I say apart from just eating them, but there's things that could be extracted out of them, or do you think apples are just in a little thing by themselves?
I think if you're comparing it just based on the phenolic antioxidants, I think apples still win, because not only it has the highest amount, but also the most variety of phenolic antioxidants. However, some flavonoids from grapes are not found in apples or in other fruits. So I really do think that that's the reason why people do research, to make sure that you don't leave any stones unturned. And yeah. I really do think that it is, I believe that Australian apples are the gold standard when it comes to apples quality all over the world. And we have a very, very thriving, very successful wine industry in Australia. So I think if I have to choose another fruit, and if I have the time and the resources to do my research on, why not do another PhD on grapes?
Just very quickly, because I've got to go. Is there a lot of research going on this sort of thing, apart from apples, or is it really like you got the research and that's done, and nobody else is looking at grapes and all that?
I think there are a lot of research still going on. I mean, my alma mater at the University of Newcastle, I do know some researchers are working on tea. Some researchers are working on bitter melon, because, for example, bitter melon, while it has just one component that, in my opinion, is very healthy, but this can have a huge impact on things like blood sugar. So the point of the research is to make sure that you're not only discovering stuff, but you're also changing the landscape of the entire field, so that generations after you can continue the research, improve upon it, and probably discover something new that I never even thought about.
Doctor, look, unfortunately the time's gone. It's been a fascinating hour. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us, and I can only say what a fantastic job you've done. I mean, you're a young man, and to be able to sit there and say, well, I've changed the way things have done, I think it's fantastic. So thank you for time, and I'll talk to you later on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doctor. Bye.